Today's daf in Masechet Erevin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Tzadik Gimel. And what we were worried about was Abaya's beautiful question yesterday, that if you're going to tell me that the structure of the Gifufim, in a case where we have a smaller chutzner and a wider chutzner, that we consider the smaller chutzner to be subsumed within the wider chutzner, l'chumra. So in other words, what happens is over here, we give an example of kilayim, that normally if you would have had kilayim in the large chatzar, and it would all just be one big room, so then the din would have been that you could have been marchik arba amas from the vines and plant. But now you're telling me that because of the fact that I have this mechitza of the gifufim, we consider the entire area in the smaller chatzar to be within the bigger chatzar. And now it won't help for me to be marchik arba amas and to plant. So even if I'm on the other end of that chutzner, I can't plant. But that, says Abaya, is a contradiction in terms, because a mechitza, it does not make sense that a mechitza will make things more usher. A mechitza serves to separate things. How could a mechitza serve to connect things and make them more close than they were before? It just doesn't make any sense. So we had an attempt by Rabbi Zera to explain that there was such a thing, and that you could actually view a mechitza when you add a wall and cover over gifufim, and as Abaya so rightly pointed out, whenever you cover over an existing mechitza, that is not called adding a mechitza, that's called subtracting a mechitza. Even though the way that you subtract a mechitza is by building, that doesn't change the fact that it's subtraction. So you basically added a minus, which is the same thing as subtracting. Okay, so we're up to Tzadi Beis, Omud Beis, on the bottom, one line up from the bottom. Omele Rava L'Abaya. So Rava wanted to bring another case to Abaya. Now, he apparently was not aware of Abaya's point that adding a minus number is subtraction. So he points out to Abaya, well, don't we find examples of a mechitza that creates problems rather than separating and solving problems? How about this case? A case where you have a sichech agabe achsadra, sheyesh la pitzimim keshera. Okay, so now the halacha over there is like this. If you have a pergola, again, this classic pergola kind of thing, it's got the four things on top with some, you know, with some places to put the schach, and it's got the edges of the wider boards on each of the four corners. And according to Rashi, it has two walls running down it. Now, these two walls running down it, they may have like a frame built along it. And now it would be a kosher sukkah, because since you've got these pieces on the sides, the halacha is that if a sukkah has two walls facing each other, and then it has an additional wall, even if that wall is only a tefach, and in this case, we've got a tefach on each side, there's various ways to do that tefach, but it's got these pieces of wood on the sides, it's a kosher sukkah. Now imagine if you would take some sheetrock and you would drywall the entire area between the pieces that are sticking out, says Rava. So then what would you have? Then you would have erased the pitzimim. You would have erased the pieces on the side by adding drywall over them. You would have used them as the studs for the drywall, right? But then you don't have anything but the drywall. And then the sukkah wouldn't be kosher anymore. So you see that by adding the drywall, which is a mechitza, you destroyed your sukkah. Well, the answer to this is obvious, because Abaya already explained that erasing a mechitza by adding additional mechitza is not a mechitza. It's taking away a mechitza. And of course, in the end, Abaya will tell us that. But first, Abaya says, look, first of all, I want to make one thing clear, Rava, and that is that I don't think you're right. Actually, the halacha would be that it would be a kosher sukkah. We're going to get into the machlokas later on, in that Abaya holds it's a kosher sukkah because of pitikra yored visotem. But since you've got the top facing the edges, the top will come down and will provide us the wall even without the things on the side. Okay, but I mean, let me tell you something. First of all, you're wrong, okay? But I mean, even if you were right, you're wrong in terms of answering me, because this is not called adding a mechitza. This is called siluk mechitza. So lididi, as far as I am concerned, the sukkah is kosher, okay? Lididach, if you think this, the sukkah is not kosher, it became not kosher not by adding wall. Adding drywall over studs removes the studs. It doesn't add the drywall. And therefore, it's a siluk mechitzas. Omele Rabba Bar of Chanan, another try at showing Abaya that a mechitza can create problems. Okay. And this is the same thing as a mechitza, because basically, where roofing serves to separate one rishus from another, so then the roofing is essentially acting as a mechitza, right? So imagine like this. We've got ourselves this big open house in which half of the roof has been built and half of it is open to the elements. So now the din over there, again, vis-a-vis kilayim, is that the area that is roofed is considered to be the end of one section. And that is now a mechitza because of the pitikra yored v'sotim. And because of that, you're able to actually plant all the way up to the end of that roofing. So in that case, if you have a kerem that is natua, So over there, you're allowed to plant one thing, let's say veggies, and the other half has got these vines. Makes no difference. You could plant the vines all the way up to the edge of the roof, and you could plant the veggies all the way up to the edge of the other side of the roof. And that's considered to be a mechitza, because the roof comes down, pitikra yored v'sotim, and therefore there's no kilayim over here. But now imagine that you add roofing. You add roofing, you finish the roof over the entire house. Now you cannot plant all the way up to the edge, obviously. Now you're going to have to stay arba amot away from those vines, okay? So you see that by adding the roofing, you've ossered the planting. So isn't that the same thing? And again, Abaya tells him the obvious answer. By adding roofing, you've destroyed the mechitza because you took away the pitikra yored v'sotim from the edge of the roof that was there. So that doesn't interest me. So anyway, then Rav had gone home, and he was really bothered by this because, I mean, what's he going to answer Abaya, you know? Abaya was right. So he finally realizes that he does have a solution to the Abaya problem, and that he can show that it's a mistake to take for granted that the nature of a mechitza is specifically to make things separate. He says, now he wasn't around Abaya, but Rav Shmaya Bar Ze'ira, he asked him to please go over to Abaya and to point out to him that there's a solution. He said, tell him like this, V'lo matzino mechitza li'isur. There's no cases where a mechitza makes things worse. What about this braisa? It says, beferish in the braisa, yesh b'mechitzot ha'kerem la'akel u'la'achmir, that there's such a thing as building a mechitza in a vineyard where it causes things to be more kal, but it also can cause things to be more chormum. Wow. How is that? Now, this seems to fit the bill perfectly, because if the Braita is saying that there's such a thing as building a mechitza to be machmir, so then we've got our solution, right? Okay, so let's look at the case and see how it fits. So if you have a kerem that is planted all the way up to the edge of a mechitza, then you're allowed to go ahead and plant veggies on the other side of the mechitza, even though they're right up against each other. And that is a case where the mechitza has obviously made life a lot easier for you, because ilo ein shem mechitza, there hadn't been a mechitza there, you would have had to stay 4 amot away. Well, that's a great example of a mechitza lahakel. Now let me show you a case of a mechitza lahachmir. If you build this mechitza and you plant a kerem inside the mechitza, then only if the kerem was 11 amas away from the mechitza are you allowed to plant anything between the wall and the kerem. Now, if there hadn't been a mechitza there, you would have only had to be marchik 4 amas and be zorea. And this concludes the Braita and Rava, of course, triumphantly. This is a mechitza zakerem lahachmir. Now, I'll explain what the logic is here in a minute. But first, let's see Abaya's response. Omalei, so Abaya said to him, what's this jazz of asking me from a Braita, where you could have asked me from a Mishnah? that basically says the same thing. I know why you didn't want to ask me from the Mishnah, because you know perfectly well that the Mishnah provides the logic for this whole discussion. It has nothing to do with mechitzas. So stop with the sophistry around here, okay? Instead of asking me from the Braita, you could have asked me from the Farish or Mishnah. This was the Mishnah we had before back at the beginning of the Masechet. Remember, on Daf Gimel, we spoke about the different types of Amos. An Amos that is Bat Chamesh, and Al-Chamisha, Amos Bat Shisha. And we talked about happy Amos and sad Amos. Anyway, one of the examples that we brought were the Amos of the Harchokav of Akerim. So the Mishnah said like this, Titznat. So the Mishnah says in Kilayim, Karachat HaKerem, Beit Shammai Omrim, Karachat HaKerem is got to be 24 Amos. Beit Hillel says it's got to be 16 Amos. I'll explain everything in a moment to remind you of the learning that we did over here. A Mechol HaKerem, which surrounds the Kerem, Beit Shammai Omrim, is 16 Amos. Beit Hillel Omrim, 12 Amos. So let me explain, says the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues. What do we mean we say a karachat? A karachat is a bald spot in the middle, so to speak, of a vineyard. That was a vineyard there where the middle was cleared. So the middle was destroyed by whatever bulldozer anyway. And you've got now this clear area in the middle, smack bang, in the middle of a kerem. And what is a mechola kerem? We'll see in a moment. That is a bald spot that goes around the kerem. Daniel just sent a picture. Okay, so now, let me just give you the facts over here about the kerem and explain what's going on. The din is that once you have an actual vineyard, in order for you to be able to plant something in the area of the vineyard, you have to make sure that it's not within the four amot of the avodat hakerem. Now, Avodat HaKerem is an area around the Kerem where you're going to have to be able to bring your tractor in, or your Pora or Shor drawn tractor, and that would be two Shvarim for a team. And for that, you need four Amos, as we've seen. Okay, so it's a given that four Amos around the vineyard is certainly considered to be the Avodas HaKerem. Now, in the case where you've got a bald spot in the middle, that means that four Amos on all sides has to be left for the work of the Kerem, and you certainly cannot plant in that area. Now, the question is, can you plant beyond the four? Here we got into another problem. The other problem is that because of the power of the Kerem, that anything that would be planted in that bald spot would still be seen as planted within a Kerem, we would need enough land area to plant that we could see that as a totally separate agricultural area. Remember that the Dinim of Kelayim are very much focused on the way that things appear. So if we can make it into a separate field and it fits the requirements of a field, then we would be allowed to plant a vegetable garden in that field or grain in that field. Would not be a problem. Now, there's a machlokas, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. What is the minimal required area for a field? So Beit Shammai says minimal requirement is 8 amas. And Beit Hillel says a minimal requirement is only 4 amas. Now, in this case, since you're surrounded on all four sides by the kerem, you would need to make sure that we would see on every part of the kerem a significant middle area. So we can't just look at one area of 4 amas, according to Beit Hillel. We would need to say, look, the part that's surrounded on three sides on the northern part of the kerem is 4 amas, and the part that's surrounded on three sides on the southern part of the kerem is also 4 amas. Okay, so then add it all up, and what do you get? Okay, you get 4 amas on any side. 4 amas from the kerem is the Avodas HaKerem. Another 4 amas is what you need for that side's field. Then on the other side, 4 amas for the Avodas HaKerem. Another 4 amas, according to Beis Hillel, what you need for that size, which gives you 4 times 4, which is 16. So you'd have to have a minimum of 16. Now, in between, according to Beit Shammai, who says, well, a field is a minimal of 8 by 8, so then you would need to have 2 8s in the middle. So that would give you 4 on all sides, 4 plus 4 for the Avodas HaKerem, which is 8, and then we would need the 16 in the middle, which equals 24. Great. That's the machlokas, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. Do you really need 24, or is it enough to get away with 16? 4 times 4. very, very straightforward. When it comes to the Mechol HaKerem, the Mechol HaKerem is the area that is a bald spot surrounding the vineyard up against the wall, which is outside of it, beyond it. Now, there too, we have another issue. The issue that we have over there is, of course, we need to be marchik 4 amas from the kerem for avodas hakerem. However, we also cannot plant within the 4 amas of the wall, because 4 amas of a wall are generally not considered to be plantable. Why? Because it weakens the foundations of the wall, and therefore it is, again, graphically, in terms of the agricultural graphics, it is set aside as part of the wall area, not as the planting area. That again gives you 4 and 4. Now, in this at this point, you're not surrounded by kerem. So according to Beis Hillel, you only need 4 to give yourself a field to be able to plant in that area. Okay, so if you've got 4 next to the wall, 4 next to the kerem for Avodas HaKerem, and 4 for that field, is 3 times 4 is 12. According to Beit Shammai, who holds you need a minimum of 8, so then you would need to actually have the area of 8 plus the 4 plus 4. So according to him, in that case, you would need 16. Okay, so that is the difference between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. When we're talking about if there's Shesh Yisrael Motzeit Beit Hillel in the bald spot in the middle, do not dare bring any kind of seeds in there, because that would be Kelayim. But once you've got 16, then you just allow the 4 on all sides for the Avodas HaKerem, and you can plant the rest. What do I mean by a Mechol HaKerem? I mean the distance that goes all around, like a dance, around the Kerem, that goes all around the Mechitza. Where over there, if you don't have 12 Amot, according to Beit Hillel, then you can't bring in anything there. But once you have 12 Amot, you give 4 Amos to the wall, you give 4 Amos to the Kerem for its Aveda, and then you can plant the rest. Okay, so it says Abayas, and now, come on, let's be honest. You could have brought this Mishnah. You didn't have to bring the Braita just because it says so dramatically that there's a Mechitza that is Lahachmir. Come on, that's just words, okay? Let's talk about concepts, not words. So in all honesty, why didn't you bring this as the kasha on me, and say to me, well, you see, there's such a thing as being machmir because of the fact that you have the wall around it. Hey, it's got nothing to do with the din of mechitzas, as you well know. It has to do with the fact of the graphics for the agriculture. The issue over here is because graphically, it's kilayim, that's all. It's not because there's mechitza there. The din of the mechitza is irrelevant, okay? The reason, why didn't you bring it? Because Ela Hassam, Lavainu Taima, that wasn't the reason, because of the Mechitza. Ella, I should say, is the Bach points out. Ella, what is the reason? The reason is that the Arba Amot is needed for the Avodas HaKerem. And the other Amot is needed for the wall, because the Gabi Gader, Kiven de lo Mizdrar, since it's not used agriculturally, it's not viewed as part of the area, and it's like as if it's Hefker. And the area in between the wall, therefore, needs to be considered to be a chosh of a field. So, iika arba chashivan, and if not, it's not chashivan. This has nothing to do with mechitzas. It has to do with peculiar and unique to kilayim graphical structures. And therefore, you don't have any kind of raya that there's such a thing as a mechitza l'chumra. I stand by my issue. I don't think anybody's been able to address how you could possibly view Gifufe as bringing things closer and not making things further. Okay, now, getting back to this issue of how it is that areas that have Gifufe and extend outwards of other areas are considered to actually subsume the other area, the smaller area, and make them into the equivalent of a petach. So, let's imagine a case like this. If you recall, we had way back in the beginning of the Masechet, what is the din of people on the road? And they basically, what they have to do is they have to set up some type of cheapo mechitza because it's Shabbos. They need to carry. They've got their covered wagons. So what do? They can make a mechitza either by sticking poles into the ground, and those would be only vertical, or they could make a mechitza by stringing strings, wires around the area, and that would be an only horizontal mechitza, right? So those are very poor quality mechitzas, and remember that Chazal allow you to use a mechitza like that, but because of the low quality it is limited to being a area that is Beit Satayim or less, remember. So it has to be Karfaf Pochus be Beit Satayim. However, there was a special kula that was given for three people and up. If you've got three people together, that's called a caravan, it's called a shayara, and there you're allowed to make the space as large as you need it, even if it's more than a Beit Satayim. Now, taking that case, where the people made their karfifot, but they made them in a way that was similar to the case that we set up on the roof. Now, in this case, there were three people. Each one made a karfaf, one next to the other. But the thing is, the two outer ones are migufafim, and the middle one is not migufaf, meaning that when you're standing in the middle, you do not see anything between you and either of the two sides. Why? Because the middle is between, it's thinner than the two sides. But when you're standing on either of the two sides and you look towards the middle, you see the edge of your wall, which is wider than that one. You see that setting off the middle as being a separate area, right? So then that means for each one of these karfefos, the middle one is considered to be a petach for it because it is subsumed by it. So then if you've got one guy in each karfaf, now they're all integrated because they are all basically, because of that middle one, they're all in the middle because really they've made the middle one with themselves. And because of that, they've become a shayara because it's subsumed by both sides. So nasik is shayara, and now they're allowed to have as much as they need. Rashi seems to learn as much as you need in the middle. Other Rishonim say all of the areas become as much as you need. Now, in the case where the middle karfaf is the one that has the gifuf and the other karfefot are not, meaning that the middle one is the one that is wider. So when you're standing in the middle one, you look towards the right or to the left, you see that there's gifufim. And in here, you've got yochid bezev, yochid bezev, yochid bezev. Then the halacha over there is that you can give them no more than a total of six beitzah. Each one of those can only have one beitzah because you do not have a shayara. So now, what they wanted to know is, what would be in that case where the middle one was wider and the middle one is therefore the one that has the gifufi? Suppose you have one person on the right and one person on the left and two people in the middle. Maybe in that case, we would allow the outside to be able to have the din of the shlosha. Because I'll tell you why. Let's say, we could say, ilach hanafke tlatahavi, the two people that are there, and they are subsuming. Now, in this case, where the middle karfaf is wider, so then they can basically, if you look at them, as taking over the one person, there's three people to the right. If you're looking at them as taking over the one person to the left, then there's three people to the left. So then we should say that in both cases, there's going to be three people, and therefore it should be okay. Or do we say no, because that's not reasonable? There's no reason why the three people would want to be all together. We should say you've only got two people. So one goes to one side and one goes to the other side, and therefore no karfaf has three people. And because of that, I mean, look, let's be practical. People don't like to crowd together. So if anything, if you're going to say, let's consider them to be spread out. So then if we consider them to be spread out, then nobody has three. And if you're going to tell me that in that case, I would be willing to give you one only to either side, nobody would be able to be considered a three. How about where there's two people in each of the outside ones, and now there's one guy in the middle? Now, in that case, we should definitely say, look, I mean, it doesn't matter. If the guy is seen as relating to his Pesach on the right, there's three on the right. Or whether he goes out to the left, which is also his Pesach, then there's three on the left. Or maybe would say, well, I mean, but you don't know which way he's going to go, do you? I mean, you can't split him down the middle and give him to both, so maybe we give him to neither. That's my question. Says the Gemara, look, in all of these questions, basically we just go lakula, okay? Because remember, in Erevin, we go lakula. Now let's move on to something that doesn't directly at the beginning relate to what we've been talking about, but because in the end the Mishnah ends up being nogea this issue, so we're bringing it up now. We talked before, and we're going to discuss again, the din of Gidut Chamisha and Mechitza Chamisha. So now I want you to imagine the situation. You have a split-level area of two chatzeres. One chatzer is lower than the other chatzer by 5 tvachim. The upper chatzer builds an additional 5 tvachim wall, so that when you're standing in the upper chatzer, there's just really a ledge. You don't see a 10 tvachim wall. But when you're standing in the lower chatzer, you are facing a 10 tvachim high wall, because you've got basically like the Kotel Maravi. You've got the lower part, which is just the support wall for the dirt of the upper chatzer, and then you've got another 5 tvachim, which makes the total 10. So Rav Chisda Tainas, you cannot use that as a wall. If it's Gidud, which is Chamisha, plus the Gidud, remember, that's the part that is just there supporting the area that separates the two, just like the Gidud horizontally did this, over here, the Gidud horizontally is used in the same way. So if Gidud simply means it's elevated in this case, so it's elevated by 5, plus another 5, which is a Mechitza, you can't use that as a valid Mechitza. You've got to have either complete elevation, in which case we would say good asik, or you've got to have a complete mechitza, but you can't have half and half. So it's either kulo begidud or it's kulo bemechitza. So we now ask on Rav Chisda from Abraita, if you have shtei chatzerot, zo lema'ala mizo, and the upper one is 10 tvachim higher than the lower one, or, now here's the problem, or it's 5 tvachim higher, but it built an additional 5 tvachim wall, which is basically a ledge. Uh-oh. And here it says, either way, the din is that these are two completely separated chatzeros, and they can only have 2 separate eruvs. There's no way for them to make 1 eruv, because there's a mechitza between them. Now, look here, man. It says there's a mechitza between them, even though that mechitza is only built of 5 gidud and 5 mechitza. If the mechitza b'neim was less, it was pochus b'kan, it was less than 10 tvachim, then there's nothing between them for all intents and purposes, because anything that's less than 10 tvachim is just a ledge, and then they have to make 1 eruv, and they can't make separate eruv, and that's not a petach. That's called completely porutz to an area that is usur for you, right? This is about as clearly anti-Rav Chisda as you can get, because it's saying over here that we can be mitzarev, the Gidut Chamisha of the extra height that the upper chatzer is raised, plus an additional 5 tvachim of a ledge, and give it a din of a separate chatzer that can never be mitzarev with the other chatzer. Omar Rava, I don't see what the problem is, because Rav Chisda can read this perfectly well. Rav Chisda is moda that the lower chatzer definitely has a wall of 10, right? Because in the lower chatzer, when you're facing the gidud and the mechitza, you don't know what you're facing. As far as you're concerned, you are facing a 10 tefach high partition, correct? What's on the other side of the partition, if it's dirt, if it's stone, this is none of your darn business. So you're perfectly happy with the fact that you've got this wall going all around your chatzer. You've got no problem. So vis-a-vis the lower mechitza, or the lower chatzer, obviously there's a mechitza. Because however, it's looking at a mechitza of 10. So since the lower chatzer is completely separated, you're going to need separate eruvin. That's all. That's true like Rav Chisda too. But where does that say that you are adding 5 and 5 to actually work as a mechitza for the upper? It doesn't say that. No, says the Gemara. Hold on, man. If that's true, so then you should say that the tachtona te'arev shnayim velo echa. So then it's true what it says in the Braita, but only for the tachtona. Namely, the tachtona has to be separate because it's separated with this wall of 10 tvachim as far as it's concerned. But what should be the din of the elyona? It should have said the elyona Lo te'arev, lo echad velo shnayim. That's not what it says. And instead it says they have to have two. And the din should be that the upper chatzar can't do anything, because it's completely open to the lower chatzar, since according to Rav Chista, you're not mitzarev, and it can't join with the lower chatzar, because the lower chatzar is a complete mechitza that separates it. So why does the Braisa says they're ma'arvim shnayim? Ma'arvim shnayim means each one can make an eruv for itself. That doesn't work out according to Rav Chista. Omar Rabba Barula, you're right. We can't take this simplistic answer that Rabba's giving over here, but we can actually jiggle it a bit so that it works, okay? I'll tell you how we jiggle it a little bit. They didn't tell you, did they, that the upper chatzar actually has a real fence on either side, except that it's got 10 amos that only have that little ledge, okay? That's the point. Now, since it has 10 amos with little ledge, we can ignore little ledge, as Rav Chista says. Don't pay any attention to that little ledge, because it's just parked there on top of the gidud. So it's open. Yeah, okay, but something that's open only to 10 amos is called a gateway. And therefore, they have a choice if they want to. They're not porots b'mloa. They have a doorway. 10 amos is a doorway. That's why it says if they want to, they could make their own eruv, because they have no problem. They are separated by a real mechitza. Where is it? It's the fence on either side. That's the real mechitza. Ah, that's very cute, except for the fact that the braita continues, okay? And read the rest of the braita. The braita says, but if it's less than that, and if the height of the mechitza between them is less than 10 tefachim, so then they can only have one eruv, but they can't have two eruvs. But according to the way Rabba Bar Ula is saying it, that there's actual fencing, real fencing on either side of a petach, so then that means the upper chatzar actually has a doorway. So then it should still have an option to make either one or two. So it doesn't work, your little jiggling with facts over here. Amar Rabba Berei de Rava, I'll tell you, it's talking about over here. Kegon shenifritza hatachtona bimloa le'elyona. What we are talking about is a case where the case is similar to the one in the Mishnah, so that the lower chatzar is completely open to the other one, which, in other words, we're talking about over here, that the gidud extends to the side, but is not visible at all from the bottom chatzar. And that's because the bottom chatzar is not only lower, it's thinner. So when the bottom chatzar faces the other chatzar, it does not see the mechitzas that extend outwards to the right and the left, because it has a wall that ends right there. As far as it's concerned, it's totally open into that chatzar. And therefore, the area which to the upper chatzar is just a gateway of 10 amos is the entire wall of the lower chatzar. And if the ledge is not 5 tefachim high, therefore, in the lower chatzar, when they face the upper chatzar, they don't face a wall of 10, they face a wall of 5, which is the level of the dirt, plus the extra 2 or 3 or 4, but they don't see a full mechitza of 10. So because of that, they are completely busted open. The lower chatzar, because of that, cannot make an eruv. And that's why the only option is over here to join in one eruv. They cannot have an eruv for themselves. Okay, fine, I understand. So the bottom one can only have an option of joining in the upper one, but the upper one has its option because you're saying it has a fence on either side. So why didn't the Braita says if it wants to, it could? Instead, it says they're ma'ariv one, okay? But the tachtonah, you're right, has to be one. But the elyonah could be two or could be one, no? Says the Gemara, yes. It doesn't say that it can't. In the previous case, it said, you can only be ma'arif too. It doesn't say that here. It just says you cannot both have. You can't be ma'arif too. That's true. one of them could be ma'ariv on its own. So v'chikatani pachos b'kan ma'arvim echad ve'ein ma'arvim shnayim. Is that true or not? Yes, that is true about the lower chatzar. Okay. So therefore, we have no problem with Rav Chisda. Darash Maremar, now Maremar held that Rav Chisda is totally wrong, and actually Gidut Chamisha and Mechitza Chamisha are perfectly well mitstarfim. So Ravina, who found Rav Acha Bereda Rava, wanted to know whether actually there was anybody that had said over what the din was from Rava. Did Rava himself say? Tani Mar Midi Bimechitza about this issue? Omer Le Lo. Never, there never was a psak about this thing. As to whether it's mitztarif or not. And the halacha is, Gidut Chamisha and Mechitza Chamisha, in fact, are mitztarifim. Now, one last question. Now that we're talking about these sort of minimal walls, how about if it falls down on Shabbos? So what would be the din? If a wall, we've been talking about where you can make one Erev or where you need to make two Erevs. So suppose you're in a situation in which if you wanted to, you could make two Eruvim. So you did. You made two Eruvim because you had this nice doorway between you. And then on Shabbos, the wall collapses. And now all of a sudden, you're all one chatzar. So these are new diurim, so to speak, that have added to both sides. So the diurim haba'im b'Shabbat. So is a din of carrying in the Erev, is that defined by the beginning of Shabbos the same way that Erev Tchumim are? Or is that defined by the current situation, which is itself a function of whether there's a mechitza or not? So suppose the wall collapses. What's the din? Amar Rav Chisda Tashma. We've got our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, a chatzar gedola shenifritza l'ktana. It doesn't say when it was nifritza. The mashma'ut is that it was nifritza at any time. Maybe it was even nifritza on Shabbos itself. It says, ha'gdola muteret and ha'ktana is asura mipnei she'i kipitcha shel gedola. So if that happened on Shabbos, apparently it's saying that if there's a change in the diurin situation, and now all of a sudden they've become joined together because the people in the small chatzar are now suddenly part of the big chatzar, then they aser carrying, right? No, Omer Rabbah, does it say it was nifritza on Shabbos? Maybe the Mishnah is only talking about where it was nifritza on Friday. Omer Abai, excuse me, sir, don't say maybe. Never say maybe. Say for sure. Because if you say maybe, then you is in big trouble. Because I remember you told us that Hamaru di Omar, you said, I asked Rav Huna, and particularly, and I also asked Rav Yehuda, what is the din if you had two chatzeres that had a Pesach between them, and on Shabbos, the Pesach actually ended up being closed up by a rock fall between them. Or there was a chalon between them, and it collapsed, and now there's no window between them. What's the din? Can you still carry from one chatzar to the other? Or do I say, no, now you've got people there, and you no longer are connected to each other, so your joint Erev is kaput? And he told me, no, it goes according to the beginning of Shabbos. Shabbat given shutra hutra, if it was mutter before, so then it's mutter now. So then you, Rava, you said that Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda paskin for you that only if something happens before Shabbos is it going to impact the Erev. So don't tell me when I ask you from the Mishnah, maybe the Mishnah is talking about Friday. It's got to be talking about Friday, according to you. And there's no other way to learn it.